see now, you're still Lord. You're still my Father. In little or much, I feel your touch. You're still Lord. Aren't you glad that He is? You're still Lord. You're still my Father. Let's all stand and sing it. Praise the Lord, church. Oh, let's worship Him tonight. Yes, yours still, Lord. You're still my Father. In little or much, I feel your touch.
You're still, Lord.
Yes, you are.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you are glad to be in church on Saturday night? What a privilege it is. Had a wonderful time here on Wednesday night, didn't we? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Certainly we did. So good to see each and every one of you here tonight. God is going to give us a good time, I believe, tonight in this service. How many of you come expecting something from the Lord tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big smile, and tell them, let's have church tonight. Let's have church, guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of it, Brother Harry, if you guys will. Play it with all your heart. Play it. Play it, buddy. Oh, let's have church, church. Amen. Let's have church. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, play it. Sounds good, boys. Now let's sing that one more time with all you got. Oh, you're still Lord. You're still my Father.
I'm glad I feel your touch.
Because
you're still Lord.
You're still Lord.
You're still my Father.
Hallelujah.
You'll always be mine for all of time. You're still
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, Sister Connie Arrowood sends this in to please remember my brother, my sister, for an urgent and spoken prayer request. The Lord would just commit it unto him. He knows all about that situation. Brother Tony Wheaton from Canada sends this in, says we would like for you to please pray for our little 5-week-old daughter, Haley. She's had a severe rash since she was about 4 days old. We've had her to several doctors. Nothing will work. Please pray that God will heal her. Thank you, and may God bless. So we want to remember that child in prayer, that the Lord will be mindful. Please remember Sister Gail Clark in prayer. She's home from the hospital, but still very weak in body. So let's pray for her tonight. I want to pray for Sister Janet Lehman, who's having problems from a medication reaction. So let's pray that the Lord would touch her tonight. Sister Clara Davis sends this in. My brother-in-law has asked for prayer for his family. He has a sister, Betty Bailey, in the hospital in Arkansas, in the intensive care unit, very serious. Also a brother, Ronnie Britt, in the Johnson City Medical Center, in very serious condition. Both need a special touch from the Lord. So we certainly will remember those needs tonight. Pray that God would be mindful. Also, our local assembly, I'm sure there's needs among this group tonight. Sister Natalie in particular, we want to just hold her to the Lord, that God would certainly be mindful of her. I believe she's home now. If I'm hearing right, she is home. So, but let's continue to pray for Sister Natalie and that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. Aren't you glad we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Do you believe it with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. All you can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give Jesus one more big hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother David Swanson, come tonight if you would. Take us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's invite his presence into this service tonight. I believe he's going to meet with us in a wonderful way. God bless you, Brother David.
Lord Jesus, we're again thankful, Lord, so thankful to come together. We welcome you in our midst, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you just take the uppermost seat, and then we just lay aside the activities that we did this today, Lord. Anything that may be a hindrance, may we just lay it aside now. This is the time of preparing, to prepare our hearts for the ministering of the Word. May you just help us to do so, Lord. As we hold these prayer requests in my hands, Lord, we just don't want to make it a habit or a tradition or something that just that we do, but may we just take each one to our hearts, Lord, seriously. Yes, Lord. As if each one was affecting us personally or one of our family members that we hold dear to ourselves. May we just take it to our hearts, Lord. Each need is special to you, and you're more than able to meet each need. We just commit it to you, Lord. May you just have your way in each situation. May you bless the word to our hearts today, Lord. We need to mature and grow, and you know exactly what we need, Lord, more than we do. So we just submit ourselves to you. May you just have control of the service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. First time we heard this song, Brother Paul LaFontaine and I believe maybe some members of his family sang this song here. And well, we just liked it so much, we've about wore it out. But we still want to sing it again tonight. And I hope it wasn't on Brother Paul's schedule tonight to sing. If it is, he can just sing it again, because we can't sing it like he can. So let's just sing it again tonight, if you will. I bless your name. How many of you feel like we need to bless the name of the Lord? Has he been better to you than anything in the world? Has he been better to you than your bestest friend? Give him one more big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, whole and sound, the spring, the night, and in their pain, began to see.
Oh, yes.
Their chains were loosed.
Hallelujah.
And they
were free. Oh, let's sing that, church, with all your heart. I bless your name. I bless your name. Well, I believe we're going to have a good time here tonight, don't you? God is certainly so good to us. Let me make a couple of announcements. We'll sing one more little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. Brother Michael wanted me to announce that Bible school will be starting on Monday, June the 4th from 6 until 9 p.m. That will continue Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Brother Wes is having a class for the youth group. We can use help at the pavilion tomorrow evening, setting things up around 5:30. Any questions, see Brother Michael Bailey. The pavilion kitchen will be closed on Sunday, but the restrooms and the courts can be used, so remember that. Also, Sister Ivy asked us to announce this, the meetings for the sisters' study fellowship sessions will begin on Thursday, June the 14th. We'll run to August the 2nd. 6 to 7 will be the young girls, ages 13 through 17, single girls, 13 through 17. From 7 until 8 will be married women, all ages. And from 8 until 9 will be ladies, ages 18 and above. Also, they have some books that will be available for you in the library, ladies, if you'd like to pick those up. Ladies in Waiting and What Did You Expect? Those are the titles of the books. That's the compliments of the Happy Valley Church here. So remember those announcements. We'll be making those as those days get a little bit closer. But let's just sing a little chorus tonight just before we change the order of the service. Our God is so good, and He is so righteous, and He is so worthy of our praise. We'll never do it enough. We'll never, surely never do it too much, but we'll actually never do it enough because of what He's done. How many of you love Him with all your heart tonight? Is he great in your life? Is He the greatest thing that's ever come into your heart? Brother Charlie, God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus tonight as we get ready to change the order of the service. God is so good. It's a simple chorus, but it's got such a great meaning tonight. God is so good. Our God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Now God is so good. God is so good. Our God is so good. God.
God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good.
Amen. As Brother Paul LaFontaine gets ready to come, let's see you one more time.
God is so good.
Question two that I'd like to get to if we can.
So I have that accountable sister Perry.
sing a couple songs if that's all right with you.
Appreciate all my children being with me here. We're just getting ready to take a few days off down here. And they just got out of school, and they're very happy to be out of school. And look forward to a little vacation here. But we appreciate them. And this song just says real faith, talks about real faith and how our children watch us and watch how real this salvation is and real how real Christ is in our lives. And that's what I want it to be to my children. I want them to see the reality of what Christ is.
Traveling dark.
deserted, oh dear. Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in Him. On this glory road I'm traveling. Times I stumbled on my way.
Can you see him tonight?
And I can see him on his throne. Not too near. Turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm heaven bound. So
I can see
the lights of hope.
If you can see the lights of hope, praise the Lord with us tonight.
And I can see Him on His throne.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I'm too near. Turn back now.
On this road for glory.
the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, boys. Appreciate that. I love when my boys worship the Lord quartet style. Of course, we don't have a bass. Does anybody need a job as a bass player? We need one. I told my wife we should have had one more boy, and I had a full quartet. Praise the Lord. Well, some of the young people are just looking at us on that song, but all you old people enjoy it, don't you? Praise the Lord. Well, there's a request for us to sing this one tonight. I hope I can remember the words to it, but a song the Lord gave me quite a few years ago now, but I believe it's important that we recognize how reverent we need to be of the name of Jesus Christ and live a life worthy of the gospel. Amen.
And child, sweet at church, but privately was wild. And someone spoke out bitter against a man of God, split the church, and everyone chose sides. There's a world who's watching you, and a God who's watching too. Stop and hear this question, think it through. Is your worthy of the gospel, Jesus, why? Who you claim to be? And if you choose to bear his name, then I pray don't bring it shame. Please look and see. Is your life worthy? A woman claims to speak in tongues while dressing to appeal, failed to sit and seek for something real. And sometimes it's hard to see in folks if he is really there, saying things that angels never dare. Well, it is best that you never heard than to break my Savior's word. But hopefully by something you'll be stirred. Is your life worthy of the gospel, Jesus? Why? Who you claim to be? And if you choose to bear his name, and I pray don't bring a shame. Please look and see. Is your life worthy?
You want to live worthy?
Is your life worthy of the claim to be? If you choose to bear pray don't bring no shame. Please look and see. Is your life worthy? Please look and see. Stop, look and see. Please, please look and see. Is your life worthy?
Sing it with me. I want to live. Stand and sing it. I want you. Yes, Lord. I want you. Tonight. Tell him personally, Lord, I want to live. We're doing it for him, nobody else. The way, just the way you want me to live, Lord.
To live
a life worthy of the gospel.
Give until
just no more. Just more love, for I can never, yes, Lord, never love. Before we pray, can we sing it one more time? I want to live, oh God, that's our cry tonight. For He wants, Lord Jesus, we cry for you. So lovely tonight. Can you say amen? He's so lovely to us. Wonderful Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you turn to Mark chapter 10 tonight, I want to say once again how much I love the Lord with all my heart. And give me hold of my life when I was young, filling me with His Spirit when I was 16 years old. I just want to say again to Him tonight how much I appreciate Him. It's been a rough road, but I've never had it any other way than to stay near my Lord all the way. And I appreciate Him so much. Amen. God is a good God. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. So many different things that the Lord has blessed us with in this time, in this age. And we spent the whole day in prayer. And this is the direction we feel led to go tonight. And we just pray the Lord will have His way and speak to our hearts. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when He was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to Him and asked Him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing that thou lackest, just one thing, just one thing. I wish all of us were in that state tonight. We just had one thing. That's how close he was.
One thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. It's quite a huge request, quite a huge, extreme request for this young man. But nevertheless, we find him crying for that which is lacking in his life, and he's met the right person to tell him what he lacks. And God has given him the instructions. Christ has given him the instructions to pursue and get what he lacks. It's an extreme request. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I want you to notice in verse 21, and we may finish this in the morning on the subject, a little bit of the cross, but I want you to notice in the set of scriptures that we read that the answer to what he lacked was only in the person of the Word, Jesus Christ. And it ended in a cross, him going to a cross. So that's where I'm going. That's what I want to minister on tonight, because he's the person that gives us that place and that direction for what we lack. But I can tell you in this end time, it won't be without a cross. And when we remove the cross part of the message of truth, we've removed one of the biggest parts. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Brother Donnie's invitation. We pray that you'll help us to put our shoulder to the wheel and be able to edify your church that's here, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, and I just consider myself just to be a part of the body of Christ here and around the world, Lord. And we each have our little portions to give, and I just pray that you use the gift tonight and minister to those who are in need. And Lord, we pray that you help us to relax in your presence, Lord, and that you'd come and say things that we didn't even plan on. And Lord, that it would minister to the people of God. Help us, Father, to say those things that are needful. And we just place this in your hands, and we want to draw closer to you. That's why we're here tonight. And as Brother Branham says, we come to service not to hear what we know already and not to hear how good we are, but to find those places in our lives where we lack. That's why we come, Lord, and for ministers to study in those areas. And Father, that you could lead us closer to you and prepare us for what lies ahead. We commit the service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I was really moved. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Quebec, Canada. And I ministered there with another minister, and he took the services, and I won't mention his name, but he took the services and gave his testimony. He's just fairly new to the message, and he's a minister. Wonderful testimony. And I just wanted to say that I was moved up in those meetings to minister along these lines tonight by some of the things he said in his testimony. And I probably won't get to it tonight, but I'll probably share it in the morning, some of the things that God dealt with him on and the way that he come to the person of Christ. And so that's what moved me, and something dropped in my heart. Just go that direction in Johnson City just a couple weeks ago. So this may be just simple tonight, but I just want to trust the Lord and trust that His leading is right. And but there was something that just moved me about that. And I want to take this set of scriptures that has, I'm sure, been read many times, the rich young ruler. I want to take this text and speak a little bit about it. And probably so many sermons have been going along these lines, especially to the young people. I minister a lot to the young people around different places. I feel honored to do that. And I have taken this text several times and talked about this young man who had been raised right and knew all the things that he should do. And it just seems so fitting for someone who's raised in a good home and raised in the right, the commandments of God. And yet we find this cry in his heart for eternal life. He's lacking something. He's not connecting with something in all the good that he's done and all the place that he's standing there and doing all the right things. Yet he definitely was lacking something great in his life here. And the prophet used this text in his last full sermon. And it was entitled Leadership. And we've just been studying over that and looking at it again. And you know, when the prophet speaks these things to us, I know that you know that these are not just sermons, but they are announcements to us. And we should approach it when we read it that way. Can you say amen? Those who have served the Lord under the message for many years, we know that we pay close attention because it's not just sermons, but it's announcements and declarations of the time that we're living in. Especially after the seals, we find there's very significant declarations being made by God through His prophet of the end time. And that's not really different than any prophet of the Bible, because even John, as an example, John the Baptist said, when he said the axe is laid to the root of the tree, that was more than just a sermon or a poetic thing. He actually was saying something to positionally place them in time of what was happening right there. When he said the axe is laid to the root of the tree, he was positionally saying something that made a declaration where they were standing right then and what was going to happen right in front of them. So it was a happening. It was not just a sermon. Now, if we have the title leadership, we would think that talk about leadership just a minute. We would think that a prophet being here on the earth, in our eyes, a prophet being on the earth would be the best leadership that we could have, is having a prophet on the earth. And being able to follow that prophet and be able to maybe call that prophet and be with that prophet. He's here. And I would have enjoyed being back in those days to be able to have access and be able to have that one, someone like that on the face of the earth, the spirit of Elijah and just the prophet of this generation. Many of you probably sitting in the room were here when he was here. And that was a great privilege. But I would have enjoyed that. You see now, Brother Branham's preaching leadership as his last sermon. And we would think that the best leadership is to have a prophet on earth. But yet, Brother Brown's going to show us, we're going to go on now some over 50 years past the prophet going off the scene, and he's going to take his last sermon on leadership, because I believe that more than anything else, we're going to need leadership. I think that's very significant. I think God is making an announcement to us. And So, but it's not that it would be the closest or best leadership that he would have on earth, or God would have kept him here until we went in the rapture and all that played out different than what we'd expect. And scripturally we know now that had to happen because John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. And so that's the transition. So now we realize that I don't know what the prophet knew, but the bride would experience another more than 50 years on earth after he left. After the prophet left, plunging into the worst darkness mankind has ever had to live in. Not just darkness, but gross darkness. And that means, gross darkness means extreme darkness. It means to be heavy, to be a thick darkness. Heavy or thick is the words that's used in this. Heavy or thick. It'll be the most deceiving type of darkness. It'll be the most wicked, tempting times to live in. And yet what's strange about this type of darkness in our age is that this deceiving and most wicked time in this heavy, thick darkness, it all has the display of fun and pleasure and relaxing and appealing and laughter and enjoyment. It's hard to believe that darkness and gross darkness has that type of front to it or display to it. But nevertheless, those type of things are tied to the darkness that we live in. And that's what makes it so deceiving, because it can be so appealing to the flesh. Nevertheless, the prophet has declared in the Bible, this is an hour of gross darkness. Gross darkness, a heaviness, an extreme thickness or heaviness. And so it's disguised very well, but nevertheless it is gross darkness. It's the worst darkness ever. So if that darkness is increasing, somebody mentioned that Brother Bram said that he didn't see anything past 1977. And that could say to us that the darkness increased so much that even his prophetic eye couldn't see anything past there. Nothing going on past that. And yet you and I, 2012, we're living in that darkness right now. We would have never dreamed we'd be living in this. But I believe God knew we would be living here. And I don't know if the prophet knew, but I believe he knew. And you know what? What the main thing that we would need through this darkness is true leadership of the Holy Ghost. And thanks be to God, He's provided it for us. In this gross darkness, God has provided real leadership. Someone to take our hand. Someone to hold our hand tightly. Can you say amen? And to guide us to the path of God. Especially when we can't see the path of God. Because there's sometimes, how many raise your hand and say, sometimes you can't even see the path of God, but His hand takes your hand and He guides you back to the path. And why can't you see it sometimes? Because of the gross darkness. And because of the mixed voices. And all the different voices of leadership that we have today. Thousands, millions of voices around us. All vying for our attention and wanting our attention and wanting to lead us and wanting to guide us. And right down to preachers with an agenda to lead the people. I'm saying the wrong agenda. They want to lead them themselves. Voices and all these other types of leaderships and all these things that go on. Besides that, the little whispers in your ear every day. Oh my. I just thank the Lord. There's a prophecy in the Bible that says one day we'll never hear those voices of that accuser in our ear ever again. We'll never hear it again. But God guides us to the path, even though things become so blurred. Thousands of voices trying to teach us and competing for our attention and competing for our to lead us. And then the mixed messages even in our own camp. So how perfect this word is to end as the prophet leaves leadership. Because it's fitting that the people of God would need true leadership during these days between the prophet leaving and the rapture. And thank God He did not leave us alone. So now in leadership now, just before we go to our subject tonight, I want to say a couple things about it. Because the natural types of spiritual, and in the world today, if you're observing, you see a great thrust and an increase in books on leadership. Just the last 20, 30 years, there's always been books about it, but there's been a real thrust of a great amount of books in the Christian bookstore and also secular books about leadership, titled Leadership, 7 points of leadership or whatever. And a lot of that has come because there's been a big downfall in the leadership in our generation. Even corporations begin to fall. And when they begin to examine all this, they realize it's not the employees, but it goes back up to the top. That there's problems in the top. And if you have problems in the top in character, you're going to have problems all the way down. So after all these years of blaming the employee, then they start to realize, wow, we better take a look at leadership and we better train our leadership. And that's what gets all these books and stuff. And they take them through training people how to be leaders because they can't lead others properly unless they're taught right. And so that's why we have this big thrust. Brother Brand preaches his last message, leadership. And we have this big thrust of leadership in this hour and things being said about it. And we see then that that's a type of this hour. There's because leadership becomes corrupt. Because more and more leadership becomes corrupt, then the hunger and the cry for true leadership raises in the people. And that's why so many books are produced. To try to meet the hunger. In the church world, corruption sets in. Leaders, leadership motives change. Becomes human leadership instead of God-like leadership. A servant to the people. Immorality comes in leadership. They fall by money or popularity or women. Some of this I'm just going to have to read through quickly and you say amen quickly because I'll never get to my thought tonight unless I read through this quickly. And I'm sure all of you would say amen to that. Yes, let him read it quickly. In leadership we see immorality and the fall of money, popularity in women. The abuse in leadership, even pastors abusing people's minds and abusing their emotions. A misuse of the word of God, a misuse even of the message to get what they want. They start covering up their own sins and their own weaknesses and talking only about other people's weaknesses and sins. They become blind to their own things in their life and then they try to lead others. And Jesus said they become blind leaders of the blind. They refuse to give full disclosure when they've made a mistake themselves. They're not going to give full disclosure to the congregation when they've made a huge mistake. They're not going to give that. I'll tell you, that's a breakdown in leadership. And then from this comes a lack of trust in people. And people begin to say, I don't trust anybody. If that isn't Satan's work. If I can destroy the leadership, if I can put enough things in their mind to make them have a lack of trust, they'll start to believe the idea that there's no good leadership. Can you say amen? And then they said, okay, I'm through with this whole thing. Because the cry of the heart is we have to have leadership. And if someone gives up and says it's not out there, they've been hurt too badly, then they are people that stop pursuing leadership. They pursue life without it. And God's not made us that way. He's made us as sheep. He's made us to be led. He's not made us to do our own thing. You pursue your own thing, it always falls. For thousands of years, we've seen that happen. Why haven't you picked up on that yet? You don't lead yourself, you're led by something. You think you're doing your own thing? No, you're not doing your own thing. God's not even made you that way. You're meant to be led by something. You're meant to follow the images that you're looking at. All you got to do is look at the right images. Break down a leadership in our own ranks. The fallout from this happening, even in our message, is unreal. The fallout from it. People leaving and people pulling away. The hardest thing for a human being is to get over is to know that they found the pure message and then they see the leadership tied to that message become corrupt. Or that leader, their identity becomes more important than the identity of Christ. He builds an atmosphere that it's around his identity, his preaching, or his church, or his leadership. And people over these things, they lose trust. They leave it because why? There's a cry in the bride especially. There's a cry for real, true, balanced leadership. Praise the Lord for it. And people begin to leave, and you can almost understand why people would leave with some things that go on. But I want to say, you would have an excuse, and I just wrote this in today. You would have an excuse to leave this message if there was no leadership here. But that's not true. And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God providing the leadership of that person in the darkest times. And I want to say that excuse on the day of judgment that a preacher hurt me will not do in the day of judgment. It will not work. It works now maybe, but it doesn't work on the day of judgment. You can't bring up that somebody hurt me or the leadership went wrong or leadership become corrupt because God all the time has true leadership there. God's provided it. Praise the Lord. A preacher failed me. Will never work on the day of judgment because even the last thing our prophet said is to make sure that you're led by the person of Christ. It's almost like who is he handing this over to? Who is he handing the baton to? Who is he directing us to? And we'll get to it in a minute. He's directing us to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not for one moment do I point you to a church or start an organization. That's not the purpose. That I might accomplish this one thing, to establish a relationship between the person and the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the message is all about. And if that's not the end result, then we haven't reached the end result yet. Praise the Lord. A preacher failed me, so will not work on the day of judgment. He is here to lead you. And there will be a huge test in the bride to make sure she's following the right voice and the leadership of Christ. People are being tested every day. And they're being confronted with the question, are you, not your person sitting next to you, not the ones you go to church with, are you following the true leadership of the person of Jesus Christ in your life? And you'll be tested on that. Because that's everything. I want to say something about the change in leadership. I believe that we've recognized that there's a change in leadership in the sense God keeps honing in on and changing the leadership to bring it closer to the leadership He needs to bring the bride into rapturing faith. And Brother Branham brought out in Joshua chapter 1 as the transition came from Moses the prophet to Joshua. He's bringing that out and he reads the scripture in the sermon As I Was with Moses. He reads that scripture that says, Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, Moses, my servant, is dead. All due respect. When those words are there in the Bible, Moses, my servant, is dead, is not just telling what happened, but it's a proclamation of a change in leadership. You say amen? It's a proclamation. Moses, my servant, is dead. A lot of people in this message need a revelation that Moses, my servant, is dead. His message continues on. The truth that's been restored continues on. The Holy Spirit continues on. All of it's still intact. Can you say amen? But God changed His leadership, and Brother Branham even brought it out to bring it into the Joshua Commission, that there was a change of leadership. And Moses, my servant, is dead. We need a revelation. Moses, my servant, is dead. We don't have anything solid in the Scripture to go on that He's going to come back and offer leadership again. We don't have anything in the Scripture for that. He filled His time. He did what He needed to do. Thank God for Him. You know, I read the Scripture in a place I was ministering to the youth. Since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, violent taken by force. And the Scripture before it actually talks about, said that John the Baptist wasn't risen a greater than he. But whosoever's least in the kingdom is greater than he. And I just made a little comment, and I got in a lot of trouble for making it. I just said, is he saying there? Is he saying, young people, that actually, that he that's least in the kingdom is greater than he? Greater than the prophet? So I just simply said, I said, be careful of the influences in the message that are pointing you backwards to live in the days of the prophet. And cling to the leadership that's showing you your place in Christ. And I got in trouble. I got in big trouble for saying that. Just reading the Scripture, it's all I was doing. And I mean it respectfully. And there's no one who has more respect for the prophet of God and what he's done in this hour. I believe that we respect that. But the transition in leadership is Moses, my servant, is dead. And we weren't left hanging. No, God's providing just as much leadership. Hallelujah. And he said it was Joshua, but he said Joshua typed the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham said he typed the Holy Ghost. So back in the Old Testament, it was a man. But in this hour, it's that it goes from the more visible to the invisible. Can you say amen? If Brother Branham said he's the type of the Holy Ghost, so that invisible leadership, even though it was a man back there, the prophet said it was the Holy Ghost. And so we've come under the Joshua Commission. So as time goes on, it's less about the man in leadership. It's less about the visible man. Can you say amen? And more about the invisible person of Jesus Christ. It became less visible of a man, or less emphasis on the status, or less emphasis on someone being so gifted. Especially in the days of Judges, even as Joshua went off the scene, we find in the days of Judges that these men that were chosen to rise up and pierce the darkness, they weren't prophets, they weren't priests, they weren't necessarily gifted men. Some of them were pretty bad guys. His name is Samson. All of them. One was a woman. Gideon, his complexes, all these men in their humanness, and yet God raised them up through those little times of this great gross darkness in the days of Judges. Can you say amen? Amen. But God was still leading His people, and it was less visible someone that was extremely gifted or someone that had this status or had a position or come from a certain lineage or anything like that. It became less and less about how gifted the person was. And more about the character of God anointing that person to take those people into their individual promise. Praise the Lord. My. So Joshua, he came to lead. And right at the end of Joshua, he's getting old and stricken in years. It even says, hey, there's still a lot of land to possess. God was grieved because there's still land to possess. That's what I'm preaching on tonight. The cry for what's missing. The cry for what's lacking. The Holy Spirit is always there to lead us into meeting the cry for what's lacking still, for what's missing. And so the leadership moved the people into their individual promise in that day to fight for it individually. That will be the true leadership, is to help that person see their own land and put fire under them to go get their own land. Not lead them to a church identity or a personality, not to a convention, can you say amen, to get lost in the comfort of being a part of the movement of the message. Leadership is corrupt if it's leading you to look right and to do right and not be right. Leadership has become corrupt if it's leading you to look right and to do right and not be right. Praise the Lord. So God raises these judges. And so I just want to say this, that I believe God, if you'd like to know what I feel is the change is happening now. The changes in the leadership is to become more honed in on the person of Christ. God is raising the standard of how His sheep are led. God's removing the ones who won't follow that leadership. Because He cares that much for the leadership of the bride. I said God's removing the ones who will not grow into this honing in of what the leadership, advancing into what balanced leadership is. And if they bow to the idol of pointing to themselves or have an agenda to point to their own identity or church, and I'm not speaking about anybody personally here, I'm just saying we've seen this happen. If that man in his heart makes a decision to keep it about him instead of the sheep finding their own individual place, they have become corrupt in their leadership. The person of Christ is using men in this hour who have humility more than anything else. There's such a cry for real leadership because that's what God needed. God said, I will provide it. But it may be a different type of leadership than you've expected, because it will be about one thing. You connecting with that person of Christ yourself. God will not provide just a crutch for you to lean on, a man. Can you say amen?
Amen?
God will give, I'll just mention this to you, in Ezekiel 34, there was a rebuke to the ministry. There was a rebuke to the pastors. God was grieved at how the pastors were leading the people. But He didn't leave them hanging. Can you say amen? He says a little later on in that chapter, He says, but I will set one shepherd over you. Praise the Lord. I will set one shepherd over you. But then He also speaks in Jeremiah 3, and I will give you pastors according to My heart. God will never leave His people hanging. If one falls and bows to a corrupt leadership, God says, I will provide leadership for My people with one shepherd. Can you say amen? And pastors according to My heart. And lead the people with heart. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Lead the people with the heart of God. Praise the Lord. So much more could be said on that. Now, so we come to this leadership message, and we come, who will lead us then? And this is the announcement in leadership, I believe with all my heart, that the person of Christ will lead after the prophet is gone. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It wasn't just a sermon, but it was an announcement. I believe it was saying something, that it's the person of Christ through this text. Through this rich young ruler who had everything. He had it all. You read the message leadership and show everything he did. He lived a moral life. He didn't go to dances, he said. He didn't go a lot of this stuff. He lived all the commandments. He had everything in place. All his ducks in a row. Did everything just right. Some of you don't even have that. But this boy had it. And yet he had not met the person yet. The person of Christ. And so Brother Branham, I believe, is going to separate. He's gonna, in the message, he doesn't belittle someone who's followed the commandments. He doesn't belittle someone raised in all that good upbringing. He doesn't disestablish. He just puts that all over here, and then he puts the person of Christ here, because he said in all this, he couldn't find eternal life. He couldn't connect with life, and he couldn't connect with eternal life, because you have to come to the person to connect with that life. None of this will bring you to connecting to that life. Only the person will connect you with that life. That's what he's saying. I believe that with all my heart. And the person of Christ will lead after the prophet is gone. And I believe he's also saying that this message is not a religion. This message is about a person. It's a person. And everyone will be confronted with whether they're being led by a good religious background or the person of Christ. Every one of us will be confronted with that. I think I can safely say as well that the prophet here ends his earthly ministry by dividing a church life from eternal life. He's dividing a church life from eternal life. Totally different thing. He's dividing someone who has all their ducks in a row and still not having the person. These are two different things. And a church life, why is he doing that? Because he knows a church life will not hold you under this type of darkness. Warming a pew and having a church life and being in a popular church or being in a church or being in a message church or having all this stuff will not be enough to hold you under this type of darkness. It's going to have to be a relationship and a connection with the person of Jesus Christ. Prophet knew that it wouldn't hold the people in this darkness. A religion wouldn't hold the people. Some outward display of the message wouldn't hold the people. Church life won't hold them. I think it can be said from this sermon, let's not make the message a religion. Can you say amen? Where you fall short of a relationship with a person and lean back on a code or a form of the message. But people have made it a religion. You know, people have made the message a religion now and not even knowing that they've done it. So in leadership, we have a principle is that I believe the prophet probably knew more than us that if we go 50, 60 years down the road in the message, we have the tendency for denominational spirits to come into the people. Because he said, and is your life worthy? He says, you can be a one-man denomination. You can become your own denomination. So it's a principle. Can you say amen? God's no respecter of the sign that's on the door. And Satan's no respecter of the sign that's on the door. Whether it's Baptist or a message church, doesn't give it any endorsement. Can you say amen? Whew, I'm preaching hard now. He was trying to show people have made this a religion and not even known. Let me just read what he said. This young man, Brother Branham said in leadership, too, he was taught in the religion of the day, but he didn't have eternal life, so he wanted to know what to do. He had been guided successful to this, but when he was confronted with it, he refused to be guided to eternal life or to be led. His other leaders had such a hold on him until he didn't want to turn loose. Now that is something like what Brother Branham is saying here. Some of it's a little too deep for you, you see. And here he goes. Look at this now. Education is fine. You should go to school and learn. That's good, but that won't save you. To have plenty of money, that's good. You can raise your children, give them good clothes and things. And like Papa and Mama has worked for you all and things, that's good. But that still won't save you, see? Or you could get in a laboratory and learn how to put different things together or split atoms or whatever you do and get in a rocket and go to the moon, but that won't save you. You've got to face one thing, eternal life. Then there's only one person who can give it to you. Mama can't give it to you. Papa can't give it to you. Your pastor can't give it to you. Your leader here can't give it to you. He's taking all of that and saying that it's possible they can't connect you with this eternal life. Wow. Everybody that gets eternal life has got to come to Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can give that part. You see why we can't make this message something other than the person of Jesus Christ and being led to Him. I tell you, when the Lord got a hold of me and changed my life, things haven't been easy. But I can say that I met the person. There was this being that come into my life. It was about Him. Can you say amen? And when I read those quotes, something happened. As a kid, I heard them all my life. But when I received the Holy Ghost and become in this relationship with this person, Then all those quotes became real to me. Can you say amen? And something happened with my experience. I don't know about everybody else's experience, but something happened with me is that when I was reading through all the supernatural that happened in Brother Branham's life and all the stories and all that God was doing, a lot of people read that and they're just so awed by what God did in the prophet. But when I was reading it, I wasn't just catching what God was doing. I was hearing my name being called out that I too could rise to a place of faith and live as a son of God in this hour. Amen. And that's when you meet the person. Because the person connects you with your part of the life that was in God from the foundation of the world. And then it's not about church. It's not about the preachers. It's not about the preachers who fall. It's not about the problems anymore. It's not about who hurt me anymore. Can you say amen? It's you're connected to this person. I would have been gone, like a lot of other people are leaving this message, I would have been gone a long time ago. But there's one thing that holds me. He keeps holding me. It's because I met Him. This message is not about books and tapes. I met the person through this message. And if you haven't met Him, you can meet Him tonight. Can you say amen? And if you've got away from Him, and you know it, draw nigh to Him. And He'll draw nigh to you. That's His promise. Oh, it gets better. He says, you can have this. Your teacher can give you an education. She can teach you. He's going on. He's saying, you can have a lot of money. He's taking all this stuff and he's all putting it over here. God don't care about your money. God don't care about your clothes. Other people kind of look and say, oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's a happening outfit. I'm here to tell you, are we being truly led by the Holy Spirit or are we being led by the fashions of this world? And led by how much money we got? I can tell you the fruit in somebody's life, if that's what they're caught up in, they got away from the person. Because the person has this humility, can you say amen? And when you're in touch with the person every day and dying out daily, then it's not all about how much money you have or how much education you have. Notice he says it's fine to make money. It's fine to get an education. Go get an education. But all that without the person means nothing. He goes on. He says your teacher can give you education. She can teach you. You can learn it. Your mother can teach you to walk. You have to learn to walk. Your father can teach you to be a businessman. You can learn that. But only Jesus can give you eternal life. Your priest, your leader, or so forth can teach you your religion. Now listen now. I know Brother Donnie probably knows this one, but I didn't know it was here after all these years studying. He says, your priest, your leader, or so forth can teach you your religion. And then he says, you can learn the message that we're trying to teach. But still, that won't give you eternal life. How fitting to put in his last sermon. That you can learn the whole message and tell all the stories and have it all. And incidentally, friends, I've heard preachers that can preach this message a lot better than me. And have a handle, it seems like, on the doctrines of this message and be able to preach it like an angel. And today, they're not serving the Lord. And I have one clear answer for that. Somewhere along the line, they never met the person. Don't care how good they can preach. You can learn the message that we're trying to teach, but still that won't give you eternal life. You've got to accept the person, Jesus Christ. You understand that all of you, you understand that all of you. Got to accept the person Jesus Christ to have eternal life. Now sometimes other leadership gets so much influence on us till we don't know what to do then when the time comes. He's separating the person from all this other stuff. Not that it's bad, but it's just that we must be in contact with the person. Sometimes people in this message are confronted with this later on in life, even after serving the Lord in the message or serving the message. But every person has to come to it. It'll bring everything to a head. Amen. It's happening in people's lives all over. I pastor a church, and it's an awful embarrassing thing when a person starts to have to admit that they haven't met the person yet after all these years in the message. But I'll tell you, it's glorious when they, in humility, admit it, and they meet Him, and they go forward. It's glorious. Never mind the embarrassment, can you say amen? Because the end result is that we're connected with Christ. We're in relationship with Christ. And so every person has to come to that. It will bring everything to a head. It's happening in people's lives all over in the message. It's a painful confrontation, but it's a good confrontation. It'll either make you or break you. A choice has to be made. Some quit after this confrontation. Some resort back to a religion or a message status quo. But some go through the pain and get to a life that is in fellowship with the person. Praise the Lord. I got to move on. Because I was told that here in Johnson City, get to your point. And it wasn't Brother Donnie either. So I'm trying to do that. I'm still trying to do it. I'm still trying to get to my point. I don't mean that bad now. I like that too. I like when a preacher gets to his point, you know. It's nothing worse than going on and on and on. But I hope this will be a blessing to you tonight in some way. Now, I want to talk about two things that are the result of being in contact with the person of Christ. One of the things that we've already said, and that's it connects us with eternal life. And eternal life is more than just someday, something we go into someday. We know that as believers. Eternal life is not that is something that's the future where I'll live forever. Eternal life is another form of life, can you say amen, that comes to the believer now. That's what eternal life is. Jesus said he believes passes from death unto life. Not someday. He actually passes over from death into life. You connect with another life. And so it's deeper than just I go somewhere after I die, which would be preached by probably several churches. They went and they received eternal life. No, we receive eternal life now. And so it's a higher form of life that comes into you now. And that's why the scripture says we pass from death unto life. Now, not when you die. In other words, you connect with something eternal now. It's something that never ends. Now, we like that part that says it'll never end. So it's you old people. We like the part it'll never end. But also, eternal life never had a beginning. So now you connect with a life now that never has an end, but remember, you connect with a life that never had a beginning. And it's in you now. Praise be to God. And so it has no end, but it has no beginning. So you connect with a life in God that was always there. It's a high, now let me just say it this way. It's higher than being holy. It's that you are a son of the Holy One. This is a higher life than trying to be holy. It's you're a son of the Holy One. You were in the Holy One before the foundation of the world. So you are holy. It's not trying to become something and being good. It's connecting to a life that was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Before sin came into the picture. It's connecting to that life. Brother Bram says many times, there's only one form of eternal life. We make it all these different kinds, and when we go on the other side, we get this and no. There's only one form of eternal life. And the believer connects with it here. It's God's life. It's not you have a life as a Christian, then you have another life of God. No, you are the same life of God. That which is in you, you are a part of God. You are a gene of God. I don't have to try to be the son of John LaFontaine. I am the son of John LaFontaine. God bless you, Dad. I think Dad's watching me preach tonight. God bless you. I don't have to try to be that. As a matter of fact, I can't do anything to get out of that. And I don't want to, Dad. Not saying that I want to. I don't have to try to be. It just, you know, there's certain characteristics of LaFontaine that just stick out. No comment on that. Don't laugh about it. Like Louis Blevins has a few of those characteristics of LaFontaine's too. I don't know how I got them. Louis and I, I don't know if he told you, but we've agreed we're rapidly recovering anorexics. And that explains it right there. So I don't have to try to be his son. I am. I was in him, and nothing can ever change that. I was part of that life. Can you say amen? And so now when that person, the person of Christ, is the only one that can connect you with that form of life. That form of life. Not a denomination, not a church. The person is the only one that has the access key to connect you with that life. It's not that you go to message conventions or message camps or all that. No, that doesn't connect you with eternal life. Only when you meet the person that connects you with this life. Amen. So now when that person comes to the woman taken in adultery, the scribes are standing there with the law judging this woman, and the person is looking at the whole thing from an eternal point of view. That's why it come out different. He's standing there, the person is looking at this woman in light of that eternal life, and the Pharisees are looking at her in light of just the law. And what she's done, can you say amen? And churches will do that. The devil will do that. So many influences will only look at you a certain way in a certain light of your past. Can you say amen? Or how good you're being in all this other church life. But see, this person, when he stood there, he's got a totally different view of everything. Praise be to God. And he's seen there was something bigger than her life here on earth. Only the person could see that and show her. Only the person of Christ. That law would never let her see the eternal perspective of who she was. Only her life of sin, even the law would only show her life of sin. And continually remind her of that. And remind her of her upbringing. And a reminder of what she's done. And remind her that she couldn't be any good person. Remind her she'll never be accepted in church. Never quite be up to par. Remind her. And that's all the further religion will do. Is just keep you at that level. That's not where we're called to live. That's not where we're called to live in this hour. When we meet this person, he opens up this book of life to us. Can you say amen? We begin to see that, as Brother Bam said in the last communion, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. That's this life. There's another life. Praise the Lord. I've got to get going here. But the rich, so you have this woman at the well, you have this woman taken at adultery. Only her life of sin can be seen. But then look at the rich young ruler. This woman, she's done all this stuff, but the rich young ruler, he's obeyed. He's done all the right things. And yet would continue to look through his life through those glasses. And yet the rich younger, he ends up in hell. Met the same person. Had the same access. Why? That eternal life only comes through a person, not a cold. Now let me move on. The next result of meeting the person is he shows us what's missing. He directs us to fill the cry in our lives to what is missing. And he leads you into that. Now look at this prayer in Going Beyond the Camp. Found this today. He's in this prayer at the end. With our heads bowed and our hearts, in this moment, would you just raise your hands and say to God, not to me, I'm just a man. Raise your hands to God, say, God, be merciful to me. I truly want all these things that I've heard about. I want to go beyond the camp. I don't care what anyone says. God bless you. My hands are at the hands. I want to go without the camp, no matter what the cost. I'll take my cross and bear it every day. I'll go beyond the camp, no matter what people say about me. I want to follow him outside the camp. I'm ready to go. You know the theme of this message? Christ the person is always outside the camp. That's where you find him. So something becomes a movement, and it becomes denominational, and it becomes a code. There's one thing that I know. Christ can't stay along very much in that atmosphere. So you would have to die out yourself and go beyond the camp, outside the camp, if you wanted to find him. Wow. Heavenly Father, you've seen those hands, and maybe 100 or so in the building raise up their hands. Look what he says here now in this prayer. Lord, there's something near them right now. There's some other person, the person of Christ, the invisible to the natural eye, and has caused them to make a decision in their own life. They know as they look into a mirror, they see there's something missing. One thing about the person of Christ, He will show you what's missing in your life. And He'll point you how to get there. There's a character of the Holy Spirit. If you don't like it, you'll have to go find some other church. But if the Holy Spirit is in the congregation, He's never allowing us to just sit there and enjoy the fact we are where we're at. He's always probing and looking at where we're lacking. Can you say amen? And guiding us to the next step. Can you say amen? And meeting the cry, because we do have things that are lacking. At least some of us here tonight, we always have something that's missing or lacking. You know, I thought about this the other night when I was pondering these things, is that people think, well, we got all we need in the message. We got all we need. But that transmits into a person saying, I got all I need. I got the message. I got all I need. I know that this message has opened up the fountain of life. A fountain in the house of David has been opened up for us to drink from. And in that fountain, we have everything we need. But you as a person don't have everything you need yet. So don't be deceived and cross over and say, I have everything I need just because I'm around the message. I believe the message has everything we need. But me personally, I still am missing some elements. I'm still lacking in my life. But I got confidence that this person of Christ is going to show me everything that I need. Hallelujah. Dealt with so many people for years like that. It says, I'm in the message. I don't need anything else. I don't need to read anymore. I don't need to do all this. Such a pride in the message. Lord, help me never to become that way. God has provided everything that we need. But we got to keep drinking from this fountain. I always like looking at the elements that are missing in churches, in preachers, in my own life. When key elements are missing, something can't be right. Even when you have all the other elements. You know this is bad because I'm just now getting to my thought right now. We'll have to finish it in the morning. But let me get a little bit of it here. So that maybe you'll come back in the morning. You know, I always like to look at the elements. You know, you ever tasted something, Brother Louis? You ever tasted something? And you could tell some ingredients were missing. If you're a good eater, you can tell when ingredients are missing. And if key ingredients are missing, we may put it down. It's just that serious. Key elements like sugar, fat, my wife hates when I talk about these things. She really does. There are key elements in God for us in the end time, and we must have them. Today we can see a minister can preach anointed message sermons and have all the good elements there, and still something is missing. We often think if we have the quotes, and we have a church, and we have the music, and we have the youth functions, and we have a building, that we have all we need. There can be elements missing. The devil is on the job and he's always trying to steal from us. How many know the devil is always trying to steal from us? And then the four horse rider is trying to steal from the church. All the way through, steal from the church. And gets down to the black one there, the third seal. Measure out a penny and all that, and then he starts charging for the hope and the cry, the hope that people had for something. Then he comes and deceives them and giving them a false hope and selling a false hope. And that was a cry. And he gets through all that symbolism, and then he says, hurt not the wine and the oil. Now I'll tell you, there are some elements that can never be missing, but Satan wants to steal them from message churches. The oil, the Holy Spirit. Trust me, friends, I've been in message churches and those elements are missing. The Holy Spirit and the freedom of the moving of the Spirit and the stimulation of revelation. Those are elements we have no business kicking out of the church. They should always be here. Hallelujah! Key elements. And I just have to just move along now. But you see now, We need people in this hour to rise and boldly say when something is missing. We're living in a day when the Lamb's Book of Life has been opened to us and trying to give back to the church everything that she's lost. We don't need to be having Satan taking anything from us. Can you say amen? He's given us back everything. And we're not supposed to give up anything or settle for second best or settle into denominational lifestyle. It all belongs to us and we need to take it back. Can you say amen? And cry out for whatever is missing because it belongs to us. What is missing? It was Israel that Joshua said there's still very much land to possess. Let me say it this way. You know, it takes real humility, for a person to focus on what's lacking in their life. That's why the rich young ruler just, you know, he's given the answer and just turned it down. To acknowledge it, to embrace it, it takes real humility. And when the rich young ruler come to this point, notice there was a sacrifice that always goes with following the person of Christ to get to what they lack. It's funny, this young man, he felt no pain with his religious lifestyle. He was comfortable, but he wasn't satisfied. The religion made his life convenient, but never asked him to give up his riches. To completely give up something and give it up for good, that's painful. To be led by the real person to connect with this life is always tied to humbly giving up something. What you formerly knew, maybe. So there's a test of giving up something. Give up, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, Lord willing. To give up. How many want to just give up and let Jesus take over? Amen. It's a cross. It's taking up your cross. That's why he ended that comment with the rich young ruler. With a cross, take up your cross. There's always a cross to get access to the thing that you lack. And the person presented it that way, the person of Christ. There's a pride that goes with religion of whatever kind. It keeps a person from the cross and the pain and the true leadership of the person. When we have prejudice in the message, then we're not following the person of the message. When we have groups of the cool people and put other ones down, we're not following the person of the message. You can't find that in his character. When we've come that we know it all, we know it all. We can't follow the person anymore. When we can't give things up, we can't follow him. When we are empty on the inside, and when we're empty, and then we choose a substitute pleasure instead of taking time to talk to him and read his word, we're not following the person. When we choose to resort back to what we have instead of stepping into what we lack, we're not following the person. When we go back to our old way or comfort zone and refuse to face the pain of finding more of God, we're not following the person. Bible says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It's the person of truth. Can you say amen? You say, I don't even know what I'm lacking. Just stay around a while. The person of Christ will show you where you're lacking. Around this message, we see the fruits of people's lives that have got away from the person. Fear and worry dominate their lives. And if they're not doing that, they're feeding on movies and books and music. I said that they're feeding on movies and books and music that haven't realized, and I don't know why they haven't realized this, but that has a numbing effect to you living a spiritual walk with God. It numbs you for spiritual things. And sometimes a host of all wholesome videos and wholesome things, it still has a numbing type effect to it. And that's the part we got to grow deeper and realize, I have this and I do this wholesome thing. But you have to realize is that if we're coming closer to Christ and coming into this spiritual life and walk with Him, then we got to lay down some of the things that are numbing us from that spiritual life. It has a numbing effect. Feeding on movies and books and music that's numbing us spiritually. Being more attracted to denomination. Why are you saying that? Because it's happening. All of a sudden the denomination becomes more attractive to them. It shows we're not close enough to the person of Christ. Going through all the motions at church and out of church doing different things. Doing things because you're supposed to do them and fearing what people might think. All right. Yep. you're not really close enough to the person of Jesus Christ. Because that's borderline a religion. You're worried about what other people think, and so I do it because I want to look good to everybody. There's a deeper life than this. There's a deeper life for you here tonight. I don't care if you've been in the message 30 years. I'm here to tell you there's a deeper life in Christ for you here tonight. You've dabbled in these things and you've gone to some of the things I mentioned. You've gotten distant from the person of this thing. And and where you're at only sends you in one direction, I can tell you. It never sends you back to Christ. It keeps going in one direction. More carnal, more doubts, more fears, doubting the message. It only goes in one direction. Matter of fact, it's not that way, it's down that way. It's never going to bring you around. Those movies only head you in one direction. It's not closer to Christ. I tell you, friends, I feel His presence here. And I'll just say to you, I am becoming so much more loving of when His presence comes near. I was in a, and I'm closing. I was in a meeting where I had to discuss with the musicians up in Canada. And the pastor just asked me to just give them encouragement to the song leaders and musicians and talk about some principles in the Word with them. And in a meeting like that, we got about 15 minutes into it, just talking about what we can be pleasing to the Lord in our gift and how we can enhance it and just make it more sanctified for the Lord and not borrowing from the world and just talking about Him. And Brother Branham says, you talk about Him, He comes near. He came in that room, I'm telling you. We just began, it just, you can sense when something is, Brother Branham said in this quote, there's another being here. There's another presence here. We met with the couples and had a couples fellowship, just talked about some of the things of the Scripture in my church there to encourage the couples who the guns are pointed at every married couple that's striving to try to get oneness in this hour. The devil has all his guns pointed on you. Try to encourage them and talk about things. And in that meeting, it wasn't in church, it was in a fellowship meeting with the couples, His presence come down. I'm loving it more and more and more. I can't get enough of it. Because when He comes, then all the other petty little stuff just fades away. All the other jealousies, all the other things about, well, what's Brother Louis going to sing, and what's this, and what's everybody wearing? You know what? It just all goes when His presence comes near. Can we stand together and worship the Lord? Blessed be His name. Cry for what's missing in our lives. Do you know that you have things missing? Do you know you have things lacking in your life? Would you acknowledge that to the Lord tonight? I have things that I lack. And I want God to come and show me the things I lack. I'm thankful for the things I have. But let Him come and show me where I lack. He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. He's here, Brother Perry. Let's just speak to Him. We don't need the music to speak to Him and just say, thank You, Lord, for being here tonight. Amen. Let's close our eyes and speak to Him. Say, Lord, I want You to show me where I lack tonight. I want You to open my eyes, Lord. Calvary purchased it all for me, and I want all that Calvary's purchased for me. Show me where I lack, Lord. Show me the elements that are missing in my life. Show me the ingredients that I know that are been purchased for Calvary at me. They've been given to me. Show me where I need to be in the Lord tonight. Because He is here. The person is here. He's able to show you. Have you become cold and crusty towards the Lord? Have you become a little bit cold in that way? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've been on fire for God. That's wonderful. But all of us can raise our hands and say, Lord, I'm lacking tonight. And You supply wherever I'm lacking. Before we pray together, let's sing that, Brother Harry. Go ahead if you would. And He is here. Think about this now. Hallelujah. He is here. Let it be more than a song. He is here. Oh. out. Bless his name again.
Oh, he is dear. Listen close. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him.
Can I just read that again where he says, how many want to go beyond the camp and find him? Amen. Heavenly Father, you see those hands. There's something near them right now. There's some other person. Person of Christ, the invisible to the natural eye. And it's caused them. The quote after it, he says, for you to even raise your hands and surrender like this, shows that something's drawing you. Can you say amen? Something's drawing your heart. I'm so thankful for that tonight. He said, Christ, the invisible to the natural eye, has caused them to make a decision in their own life. They know as they look into a mirror, they see something is missing. And they want their lives to be shaped according to the promise of God. Let that be our prayer just now. Lord, I want my life to be shaped according to the promise of God. Our Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Father, I've made mistakes through my life. Even as a Christian, Lord, I've made mistakes. Lord, you and your mercy and grace, Lord, you find me and you grab my hand. You bring me back to that leadership that I need. I'm so thankful, Lord. Who am I? Who am I that you allowed me to meet you? Not just a book or a tape or stories about a prophet, but you let me meet you. I feel unworthy of that, Lord. But all along, when I go astray, you grab my hand. You provide the leadership I need. Lord, you know the last few years things have happened in my life. I don't even have answers for it. I don't even know why they happen. It's burnt me out a little bit. But my heart is anchored, Lord, in the fact that you're here with me. And you'll show me all the answers someday, by and by. Nothing can happen, Lord, unless you allowed it to happen. The tender hand of Jehovah holding my hand. I thank you, Lord. I wanted to just pray for the people here. They seem like that they've received this tonight. From every outward sign, Lord, it seems that it's touched some people this evening. But I don't know their hearts. But I do pray that you will become real to them. I do pray you become more real. Someone's backslid. Draw them back to you tonight, Lord, and let them see the reality of. Let them look past all the darkness and past all the disappointments. Introduce yourself to them, Lord. I pray for all these precious ones that you will draw them so close to your bosom, Lord. And guide them and give them leadership. And I pray for you to anoint Brother Donnie, Lord, and the ministers. Anoint him with the true balanced leadership. And I thank the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for his humility because he stands as I do. We see this advancement of leadership today. We have to advance. We have to come into that and offer to the people a humble approach to this. Because sometimes we don't have all the answers. But there's a person here who does. There's a person here who does. And so, Lord, I just pray that you guide us all as we surrender to you. We put our hands in yours and we trust you. Leadership becomes corrupt and fails, but Lord, we trust your leadership. You've never failed us. You've always guided us. Bless those hearts tonight and connect them with you, I pray. He is here.
Hallelujah. He is here. Somebody listen closely. He'll be calling out your name.
Calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same.
Just one more song as Brother Donnie comes. Tender hand of Jehovah, just bring it up two or three keys there and see if I can find a key. We'll see.
Tender hand of Jehovah, I look back and see He was always leading me. And what was meant for evil, God has used to show me His great love. I now understand the tender hand of Jehovah. It was the tender hand of Jehovah. I look back and see He was always leading me. He was always leading me. And what was meant for evil, God has used to show me His great love. I now understand the tender hand of Jehovah.
One more time. It was the tender hand. Sing it now.
It was the tender hand of Jehovah. I look back and see.
Thank you, Lord.
He was always leading me. Leading me. And what was meant for evil, God has used to show me His great love. I now understand the tender hand of Jehovah.
Amen.
Hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we've got to hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on
Jesus. Will you hold to God's unchanging hand? Oh, time is filled with swift transition. Not a verse, but this is what we better do. Build our hopes on things eternal. Glory to God's unchanged. Let's sing it together now. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold Praise the Lord. Have you enjoyed the word tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many said the Lord spoke to your heart by His word? Aren't you glad that we can have an attitude in this heart, in this heart of ours, that God can still speak to us? And show us. As a matter of fact, Brother Bram said, if you come to church for any other reason other than to find your faults and your shortcomings, you're coming for the wrong reason. That's quite a powerful statement. Now you realize how many people go to church for the exact wrong reason. Because they get mad when they're told their faults. I'm so glad God can help us to be able to see Him. So we can move up and measure up to what God wants us to be. Amen. Bless you, brother. Thank you. We enjoyed it tonight. Appreciate it. As a matter of fact, we look forward to part two. And I happen to know that he's going kind of close for vacation this week. And if you don't get done tomorrow night, he can come back Wednesday night. Shouldn't have told me. I noticed he kind of hesitated when I asked him where he was going. He just... Amen. So appreciate it, brother. Brother Eddie Yon said to leave the service tonight because he was having trouble breathing. We'd like to pray for him. And we want to thank God for the word tonight. Lord willing, we'll be gathered together again here in the morning, expecting the Lord to speak to us again. I've wondered so many times the situation with that young man. Whenever he turned and he went away, and then Jesus gave us an instance of his life, and he became richer, more things in his life and greater things. And yet, the influence of meeting that person of eternal life, it wasn't like the guy turned totally depressed, totally sad, and the rest of his life he never had any types of fun, enjoyment. It must have escalated to a place like it had never been before. Had to tear down his barns, had to do more things. That's so scary to me. Aren't you glad God won't let you get by with sin? You think that's painful? You're one of the most blessed people in the world. That He'll not let you get by. He won't just turn it over to you and let you do whatever you want to do. He'll whoop you. I mean, He'll wear you out. I'm so glad. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You tonight, Lord, for once again taking a deposit of Yourself that You placed in a human being called a gift. Being able to inspire that person with that gift where they could study and be able to pull things together beyond their own reasoning and understanding, that You would be able to speak to us. We want to say thank You, Lord Jesus. We never desire to have the attitude that we have arrived, that we are here. But we want to, Lord, constantly be moving in that direction. If Your prophet, about a month before He left this world, told us that He longed to feel like He did when He first got saved, how He longed for those mountaintop experiences, oh God, how much more should it be for us in this hour? We thank You for our brother. We pray that You'd rest him tonight, Lord. Bring us back again in the morning. Father, we pray for Brother Eddie Yance. Lord, You see He had to leave the service because of his breathing situation. You know where he's at right now. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God would go to our brother, Lord. Touch him. May we ponder over these things we've heard tonight, Lord. May it not fall on dead ears, but may it fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Service in the morning 11. We'll come expecting once again from the hand of our Lord. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand.